Hello, Vol Nation. Coach Fulmer here. We have been working like heck, and we are ready. I'm confident we will be playing football in Neyland Stadium this fall. Stay safe, stay healthy, and stay strong.
Now from the studios of Fox Sports Knoxville, this is 3 and Out with Nate Hodges and Houston Kress. Many imitators, no duplicators. Fan Run Radio.
So everybody has waited all offseason for this moment to hear that it's game night. It's time for Tennessee football. And when the Pride of the Southland Band forms that famed team, you are swimming in Southern college football pageantry.
The Vols are back. And before long, we'll be taking a bite out of everybody we play's ass. Thank you very much.
There was a time and place that this university was feared. My goal is to get us back.
Since 1974, I know what the University of Tennessee and the great fan base here is about. I know that. When people talk about Rocky Top, I know what they're talking about.
We can dance if we want to. We can leave your friends behind. Cause your friends don't dance, and if they don't dance, well, that no plans of mine. Say, we can go where we want to, place where they will never find. And we can act like we come from out of this world, leave the real one far behind. We can dance.
Welcome in.
It's a football Friday, folks, and we are off and running. Oh, man. You missed the pre-show In the Breaks podcast.
That doesn't actually exist.
I can't help you. Man. Yeah, we're working this morning, Eric.
Are we working? We're working like heck.
That phrase might need to be retired. Welcome into the White Claw Hard Seltzer Studios, Fan Run Radio. There's football tomorrow. Football tonight.
There was football last night.
There was.
The Tulsa Golden Hurricane. Lost my parlay.
Can't lose parlay.
They should have let him kick the extra point. There are rules here. All touchdowns should be followed by the extra point.
Let me give you some parlay advice.
I got the insurance. I'm fine.
Don't pick games that are way before or way after other games.
Yeah, because now I got to wait like 2 days to lose again. Like, yeah. can't win it.
The worst is when you win all these games on Saturday and your parlay's looking good, but you threw Monday Night Football in there and you're like, I can't wait.
Now I have to wait.
And then you mess with your mind so much, you end up hedging and you would have won. It's a whole thing. Just pick games that are all right together. It's the degenerate tip of the day.
Lost.
Brought to you by Nate Hodges. And that way, when that parlay doesn't cash, you can just go to the next window of games and create a new one.
I mean, the worst thing in the world would be to hit them all early and then lose the last one.
Right.
So at least,
you got to get your looses out of the way.
That's what I did. Smart move by me.
Mm-hmm.
Congrats, though, Alex. That was a
big,
look at big
this
win.
Guy.
He is
incredible.
He is Tulsa'd out today. Full Tulsa sweatsuit, Tulsa hat.
He's probably
Tulsa tattoo on his rear.
He's probably like Brian Niedermeyer. He's probably got Tulsa underwear.
Man, you never know.
Sam Niedermeyer's is Alabama.
He does have.
I thought he was about to pull his pants down.
he has the Tulsa undershirt.
Yeah,
it's a lot of Tulsa.
I basically found everything I had still. Team issue gear.
It's a winning team. Good for you.
Big win for the Hurricane. Big win for the Seahawks last night as well.
Yes.
I fell asleep at the end of that one also.
Kyler Murray hurt his shoulder. Did you see that?
I did. A little worried.
Could be troubling. Not good for you.
Didn't hurt those legs, though. Still running around like crazy.
Yeah, he's quick.
He didn't follow his block on that one goal line run. I think he would have. He didn't have the rushing touchdown people needed. Win.
Gotcha.
They need to win, too.
Well,
I think they still scored a touchdown that drive, but he threw for it.
Gotcha.
Good. I saw a crazy stat by Schefter yesterday, though.
Mm-hmm.
Remember how last year Lamar Jackson won the MVP just easily going away, unanimous?
Mm-hmm.
Kyler Murray, before last night's game, I don't know what this will do to his stats. I'm sure they're going to go down a little bit. But he was on a better pace passing.
And running?
And running. Jeez, than Lamar Jackson. So our conversation yesterday about should he kind of be the favorite
in
for the MVP
in the mix,
or
yeah.
whatever. I mean, it's probably Russell Wilson 1 and Kyler Murray 2, really. Maybe Josh Allen in there. He's having
they split the head-to-head.
They did. It's a good game. It was a little weird. The offenses both kind of were just a little out of sync to create the shootout we thought it might be. But Seahawks got the win, 28-21. Good Thursday night game. And now we go into the weekend. All eyes on the Vols. The
yay.
Quarterback position.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
I have some pro football focus quarterback stats if you would like them.
No.
Okay.
Davey, what are you?
I already know what it is.
Oh, is it?
Go ahead, Alex.
Oh, do I want them?
They ranked all 127 FBS quarterbacks,
mm-hmm.
or quarterback situations if you have multiple. Where would you guess Tennessee ranks?
Now, this is Pro Football Focus. They're usually pretty nice to us.
122.
Close. 100.
No, okay.
Dead even. Dead on the dot.
We're a top 100 quarterback situation in college football.
Tulsa, in case you're curious, is number 55.
Yeah, they got down to their third string guy last night. He's just zipping it around the field.
What's Liberty at? I actually don't know the answer to that one.
I think they're 27. Let me look.
Neat. Yeah, Todd tweeted at me this morning and said, Tulsa's third string quarterback came in and was winging it around to help get the win. How is it possible? How can the third string quarterback come in and just be that good that quick? One does wonder.
Well, did you see the stats that David Ubbin posted, one of his articles?
Yeah.
Last year, Tennessee's running backs averaged 1.78 yards per carry before contact, according to Sports Info Solutions. This year, that number has increased.
Oh, good. We went up. That's fantastic, man.
To just 1.85. A modest jump from 75th nationally to 68th. The line has somehow regressed in pass protection. Last season, Tennessee's passers were pressured on 35.3% of dropbacks, ninth in the SEC. This year, that number has jumped to 37.2%, 13th in the league.
That's hey, we didn't backslide.
We gained a yard. Golly!
But in that category, we did. We went from 9th to 13th.
Gotcha.
Oh, okay. Well, yeah. I mean, overall, 13th.
We lost like, a yard.
Like, I think not moving backwards progress for this team.
Woof.
They've got Liberty at number 23.
Hell yeah.
The top 10 has...
Florida, Alabama.
Yep. Clemson. Number one's Clemson. So, Trevor Lawrence. They've got Justin Fields, Zach Wilson, Mac Jones.
Ian Book in there?
Kyle Trask. No. Spencer Rattler. And then we get to Sam Howell, De'Aaron King, Michael Penix Jr.,
I'm done. I mean, Sam Howell's too short, can't play.
Michael Penix Jr. doesn't fit the system.
Did you see...
what system?
So, all right.
Fair.
So the whole Sam Howell story, you know, is broken down by the recruiting insiders. That's what they do, right?
So, yeah, like they talk recruiting.
On a place like, you know, like VolQuest, they were all over that at the time.
Mm.
And then... When I would talk about Sam Howell, people would tweet at me and they're like, no, we really tried to get him. He just didn't want to. And then Jesse Simonton, former VolQuest writer, the other day, last Saturday, I think, as Sam Howell was throwing for another gazillion yards, was like, huh, too bad Tennessee's coaching staff told this guy wasn't good enough and he was too short. It's like, there you go. Told you.
Too short.
Tried to tell you.
Too short. We are dumb.
Why anybody would go with the too short route anymore at quarterback makes no sense.
Really doesn't.
We just talked about Kyler Murray and Russell Wilson, one of them being the two of the best quarterbacks.
Baker Mayfield won a Heisman as well. I wouldn't exactly call him tall.
Johnny Manziel, what was he? He was like 5'11".
Yeah, I mean, it's not like Sam Howell's 5'3" or anything. I mean, I don't know what he is, but he'd
be funny if he was. He's be good TV watching right
like
there.
Like when you create those players on NCAA football, like the shortest guy you can make. Yeah.
Yeah.
Sam Howell and Michael Penix Jr. both
top 10.
Top 10. Yep.
Yep. Sam Howell's 6'1". Like, what do we do?
And Trevor
Wait,
Lawrence,
really?
6'1", 225. Like, he's not a small guy.
It's basically me.
What are we doing? Oh, too small.
JG's 6'4", though. You can't teach height.
Apparently,
but or how to throw a ball.
He's got the bow and arrow down, though. Don't forget.
Yeah. Oh, he does. He drops the bow.
Yeah, I know, but it's because it's such a it's like a follow through thing.
I think he did it again against Arkansas, but he got it right this time.
Sam Howell.
Oh yeah.
Sam Howell in eight games.
That's the tape he's watching.
He's completing 68% of his passes for 2,631 yards, 23 touchdowns, 6 picks.
So yeah. The old line's worse, huh?
His yards per attempt is 10.6. He's somehow gotten like better in every category from last year when he was sensational. Great. But as a lot of people
10.6 per attempt.
Per attempt. Yeah.
That's good. That's good. Yeah, that's neat. Just really makes you feel good.
Mm-hmm.
I know I do.
As some people point out, though, does it matter who we have at quarterback? Like, because we can't coach them anyway. Like, even if we have a good one, like if we gotten a good one, would we have known because we can't coach them? Like, I don't know.
I'm at the point like I'm scared to kind of like let this staff have another year just because I think they will probably harm the players more than they will help them.
Feels that way.
In case you're curious, Auburn is number 44 with Bo Nix.
Hmm.
And I believe him and JG are pretty similar statistically. They've got like a similar completion rate.
Hmm.
Yeah, the only difference is when he threw his interceptions against South Carolina, the guys didn't return them for touchdowns.
His receivers are...
Receivers made good tackles? Yep.
Yeah, that was it. They got Schwartz. He's really fast.
Schwartz is fast.
Probably ran some guys down. I mean, they still lost that game, but... What are we doing? We're 11-point dogs.
Yeah.
Is it to 11 now? I've got it here as 29.5.
Oh, do you now?
Yeah.
Do you now?
Spread the love, FanDuel. Mm.
I will say the earlier you get in, the more odds you are of getting paid sooner. I think they had so many people bet on the Vandy cover last week that it took them a while to pay out.
Really?
So... I got in around 30, but I know some people who got in at like 50-something, and they were like, yeah, it took me a while to get my money, which FanDuel, the way they structured it, it took a second. But they let people know ahead of time, which I give them credit. Their
sure.
customer service has been really, really efficient in letting people have an understanding of, okay, we're lacking right here. Whenever my live betting went down during the Masters, they credited $10 in site credit to me afterwards.
Well, here's the deal. You know we've been telling you about FanDuel for a while now. If you still haven't signed up, please use our promo code 3andOut. Not 3andOut. 3out when you do. Don't use the ands on it. Computers don't like
mess
that.
It all up.
3out. 3OUT if you sign up today with the FanDuel Sportsbook app. Here's why you would want to do that. And if you already have an account, big PSA for you right here. It actually isn't a PSA because they could have checked. But anyway, Tennessee's game against Auburn. Already, all eyes on it. Here in the great state of Tennessee, and FanDuel Sportsbook is adding with the Spread the Love line boost. So for every 250 fans who bet on Tennessee to cover, FanDuel will move the point spread by 1 point in UT's favor. So as long as people keep betting, the more points Tennessee keeps getting. And you're not locked in at where you bet it. You're locked in at the very end as far as the
line. And it can only move one way.
It's only going to move towards Tennessee. It's already at what, Houston?
29.5.
29.5.
So it's gone from 10.5 to 29.5 in 12 hours?
Already. This thing's going to be...
Might be 100.
We're going to break Vandy's record easily if they keep it going. I mean, it was in the 80s. So if you're new to gambling...
I think it's 88.5
yeah.
for Vanderbilt.
So if you're new to gambling, what that would mean, let's say it gets to 80 for Tennessee. That means Tennessee would have to lose to Auburn by 81 points for you to lose your bet.
What kind of odds can I get on Auburn on that?
I don't think...
Yeah, it doesn't work that way. Yeah. It doesn't work that way.
It's a one-way wager here. Mm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Maximum of $50.
And best of all, as I said, FanDuel will pay you based on whatever the line is at kickoff. So you don't have to wait to, you don't have to like be like, well, I got in at 30. No, whatever it ends up at. So I woke up this morning, it was at 28.5, and I was like, yep, it's going to be huge.
Yeah.
So go ahead and get your bets in there. For every 250, the line will move another half point. And use FanDuel Sportsbook app. Use our promo code 3OUT when you sign up, of course. And make sure that if you're already on FanDuel Sportsbook app, you look for the spread the love on your Tennessee betting. And I do think that will, that's only a promo for people that live in the state of Tennessee. 21, you must be 21 over, present Tennessee, must wager in designated crowdfunding market. So that means make sure you place the bet in the spread the love box. Like, don't go bet Tennessee plus whatever it is, 10.5.
Whatever you do, don't do that.
Don't do that.
You're just throwing away money at that point.
Make sure you bet in the spread the love. I mean, it's right. If you're in Tennessee, it's going to be right there at the top of your app there. Max wager is $50. It pays out at -110, issued as a non-withdrawable site credit that expires in 7 days. Terms apply. For problem gambling support, call 1-800-889-9789.
I had to use the cash out early app or portion of the FanDuel yesterday. Mm-hmm. I wasn't paying attention. I took the Vols plus 11, and I was like, oh, God. And so then I cashed out. I only lost a quarter off of it.
Yeah.
But then I just took that and reinvested it in Auburn, so I'll make my money back pretty quickly.
Oh, you just hit the wrong button?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Come on, man.
I was sleepy. Don't.
Got to be a pro.
It's like, yeah. It's like driving and betting. Don't do it sleepy. Mm.
Yes. Actually, I don't know, man. I made a parlay bet when I was half asleep. I don't even remember making it. I hit all of them. Remember that?
Mm-hmm.
Like, oh, yeah, I totally should have bet on that game. Oh, I did. It's a great – it's like a gift to myself.
There
big,
you go.
Big surprise.
Smart.
Yeah, but this is just, this is free money. That's like a lot. A lot of people are going to just double 50 bucks right here.
Well, yeah.
It's outrageous.
You make 45, but yeah.
Yeah, 45, close 50. I like it. I like the. I'm just saying. I like the free money. Free money's good.
Gallum says I would be so happy if Tennessee lost by 80.
Yeah, well, that's the thing. You're kind of.
You're buying.
If you lose,
you're,
if you yeah, lose, you're if we lose this one, we're getting a new coach. I mean, that's the beauty of it. Like right now, it's 29.5. If Tennessee loses by 30, probably getting a new coach. So you might as well bet on it.
Which moves the line further? It's just a
it's a team game here, yeah. Folks. It's team
let's,
game.
Let's get it to 95 to be safe.
It's going to break 100, right? If Vanderbilt got to 88.
Yeah, I would think so, because more and more people are joining FanDuel in the state, right. You know, every day.
How much did the Vandy line move between Friday and Saturday?
A lot.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I mean,
I put my bet in Friday night. It was already, I mean, it was like in the 40s or something.
Yeah, I think I got it like 39.
Mm. Oh, it was lower. I was donating plasma and
saving lives.
And I was looking at the
I was very busy and
at the line, and Friday at around, I'll say, 6 o'clock, it was sitting at 24. And I sent them a message saying, hey, I could see this getting to like 27.5 by the morning. And it just happened to jump 60 points. So,
well, I guess a lot of people who bet college football probably, you know, Friday evening, yeah. Friday night, Saturday morning, and they're like, oh, well, I haven't looked at this, but let's check out the Saturday slate. Then they see it, and it's just at first I didn't understand it the first time I saw it. I thought you got the number it was when you make your bet. So, like, I thought, you know, it's 29.5 now. I thought I was going to get 29.5, but no. If it goes up to 180 points, that's what you get, and the odds don't change. It's beautiful. It's a beautiful system. We're excited about it.
There you go. We'll come back with more Football Friday edition of the program. Excited about that full slate of games.
So
we'll break
excited.
Them all down.
Pumped.
We're back in the SEC.
What time is it?
Hot seat.
What time's kickoff tomorrow? Seven?
Seven.
7 o'clock.
Seven.
Excited about it. It's somehow week 12 college football.
It feels like it. It does. Feels like week 112.
Tonight, Syracuse and Louisville, ESPN. Louisville, a pretty heavy favorite in that one. Syracuse still stinks. Louisville's not any good, but Anyway, you got ESPN football tonight. I'm going to high school football playoff game.
Oh.
Excited about it. My Tornadoes. Gonna do some more whooping.
Mm.
Keep rolling towards
your Tornadoes
state championship. Yep. Purdue, Minnesota, Big Ten Network, 7:30. UMass, Florida Atlantic, CBS Sports Network, 8 o'clock. New Mexico Air Force, 9:30, FS1. See, you could have built an entire Friday night parlay.
I could have. I still can.
And then once you lose it, then you just go to noon game Saturday. This is how to do it.
I took what I thought would win. If they get to kick the extra point, I'm sitting pretty.
You would have been there. You had it. They robbed us.
Tulsa. They had to pick six. Couldn't have just... He should have taken a knee, let the offense score a touchdown. Mm-hmm. No, they wouldn't have kicked it anyway.
Right.
It's fine. They should have let them score, then they score, then they score first and hold them.
Right.
Yeah, you would have needed a field goal to send it to a third overtime. What you would have needed was then for Tulsa to score the touchdown, get the two-point conversion, and then stop Tulane
from scoring at all.
That would have been awesome.
But if Tulsa had won by two.
I don't think Tulane in that situation, down eight, is going to kick a field goal in overtime.
No, I'm just saying they could have scored the touchdown, not get the two, and you'd lose that way also.
It would have been the exact same deal. Mm-hmm. Six-point victory. Ah, congrats to Tulsa. Just not to me. But that's okay because FanDuel came out with the spread the love.
Right.
So I'm good.
You're good.
I'm set. I couldn't be more ecstatic.
Mm-hmm.
I made a nice little chunk of change betting the live Tulsa money line when they were down 14-0. They are now 4-0 this year when down 14-0.
That's an unbelievable stat.
5-1 on the season. Their only loss to Oklahoma State 16-9, I think. 16-7, whatever it was. Week one.
Too bad we don't have that 12-team playoff. They'd be in.
Tennessee's 0-4 whenever they get down 14.
Yes, they are. This is not the comeback kids. It's not our range.
Hey, you can watch Michael Penix Jr. at noon tomorrow on Fox. And maybe what's the game of the day? Top 10 matchup. Number 9, Indiana. Travels to the horseshoe.
Because what does Tennessee do? We vault other teams into success.
How the hell were we better than them last year? We return as many, if not more, guys than any team in college football. Mm.
That was this year. We're their only loss in 2020.
Yeah, that's true.
And they're a top 10 team, and they've got some good wins. This is not like fake.
See, Davey, that's a top 10 win in 2020. Boom. Keep Pruitt.
No context, 3-and-out. That's the bad look for you, Chris.
Someone's going to cut that out. Just not listen to this idiot. It is, though. Not at the time, but.
Starts early tomorrow, noon. Fox.
Big noon, they call
Big
it.
Big noon, yeah.
It's 11 local, I think.
Yeah.
Maybe.
Yeah.
Is it? Okay.
Mm. Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
You got to. They tailgate. They drink beer in their cereal up there.
Mm.
Beer for breakfast, tailgating. That's miserable. Anyway, that's the whole thing.
Yeah, I'd much rather.
Do they just party more after the game?
Probably.
When they have noon games?
Yeah.
I guess we haven't had a lot to party about after
our
noon games.
No, we haven't. Maybe the Missouri game was good.
Mm-hmm. Clemson, Florida State's at noon. That used to be like the matchup in that division of the ACC. Not anymore.
Not anymore.
Clemson's a 35.5 point favorite.
Mm.
You got Florida Vanderbilt at noon on ESPN. My two TV setup, though, Chris, one's going to be on Ohio State, Indiana. The other, Jamie Chadwell and the Coastal Carolina Chanticleers.
Little scouting for you. Huh?
As they host Sunbelt undefeated Appalachian State in a battle for first place.
Mm-hmm.
Brooks Stadium in Conway, South Carolina.
Oh, Conway. Mm-hmm. Beautiful Conway.
You see the App State alternate uniforms they're going with?
No, are they good?
Oh, yeah. They're like all white,
mm-hmm.
And they're like Mountaineer guy. His like hat, it's like an American flag style.
Oh,
yeah, it's pretty slick.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
They'll be rolling those out on the teal field.
Huh? Oh, that actually is kind of cool. Yeah. That actually is pretty cool.
Yeah.
Wait, but is that their mascot? He wears a hat like that?
Yeah, he's a Mountaineer.
Hmm.
He's just a good old boy from Boone, North Carolina.
That's not what West Virginia's Mountaineer looks like.
No, it's not.
Mm,
okay. LSU Arkansas is also at noon. I mean, tomorrow's just chock full of games. It's great.
And then the big one at 7. Mm-hmm. Yep. Down on the plains.
Well, you got Wisconsin Northwestern at 3:30. Top 20 teams.
Really?
Both undefeated.
Northwestern?
4-0.
Yeah, like I said, we launched teams into success. Mm-hmm. It's great. Mm-hmm. Do you know what Tennessee is averaging per play in 2020?
No.
4.74 yards.
How's that stack up?
112th out of 126 teams.
I told you it's like the worst offense ever.
13th in the SEC, ahead of only Mississippi State. You mentioned the yards before contact.
Mm-hmm.
Not very good. Here's one for you. Tennessee, through six games, has just 21 plays longer than 20 yards. Among FBS teams that have played at least five games, only four teams have produced fewer explosive plays. Western Kentucky, ironically. Maybe not ironically. Did you hear what I said, Nate? Western Kentucky.
Yeah.
Their head coach is, Missouri, Kansas, Mississippi State. That's it. Those are the four that are worse than Tennessee in explosive plays. It's not good.
So Tyson Helton still isn't good?
Correct. And neither are we.
So did Jeremy Pruitt ruin Tyson Helton and now he's ruining Jim Chaney? Or did Jeremy Pruitt pick Tyson Helton, who's not good at offense, and now Jeremy Pruitt's ruining Jim Chaney? Or has Jim Chaney lost it and Jeremy Pruitt's fine? Like, how do we... I don't know what to do with this
information. I don't think you can say Jeremy Pruitt's fine right now. Like, that you cannot say.
Right.
Yeah.
Like, surely Jim Chaney hasn't forgotten how to craft an offense, right?
Mm-hmm. Tough to know. But it don't look good.
Mm-hmm. I mean, he definitely seems kind of handcuffed by the quarterback situation. Kind of the most important person on the offense. Kind of.
Mm.
You know. Remember when Jeremy Pruitt said JG was the only starter we had? I mean, he was, like, in terms of position, he was the best player going into last year?
Yes.
And we haven't gotten any better since.
Nope. One could argue we're way worse.
Offensive line hasn't even gotten better.
Nope.
Cole Kubik thought we were going to be top two in the country.
Yeah. You know, we're not.
Mm-mm.
No.
Well, I got good news for football fans. They don't want to watch Tennessee.
Okay, go ahead.
You got Oklahoma State, Oklahoma at 7:30 on ABC.
Okay. So I can watch Tennessee, Auburn for about 30 minutes. Rage out and flip over.
Or you can watch Mississippi State, Georgia, 7:30 too. That one's SEC Network.
There might be negative points.
That's a dud.
You want to watch Missouri, South Carolina on the alternate channel, 7:30.
Ah, yes. Two teams battling it out for who is the best team that Tennessee beat this year.
I included Oklahoma, Oklahoma State in my four-game 13-point teaser.
I'm super stoked for the 10:30 matchup. Utah Utes are finally hitting the field, Chris.
Good for them. Glad they made it. Holy cow.
They're hosting Southern Cal.
Mm.
It'll be a pretty good game. USC is a 3-point favorite. I mean, full slate. Boise State, Hawaii kicks off at 11.
11?
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, the island game, you know.
Right.
Probably a good move.
Mm-hmm. Just games everywhere.
All the football you can watch.
Mm-hmm.
Do they ever get to play night games in Hawaii Stadium?
I don't know. Yeah, I would have. Sure, maybe.
But it would be like 3 a.m. here, wouldn't it?
Yeah, so maybe not.
Yeah, I don't know.
What's the time difference?
Oh, why'd you have to ask me that?
I didn't think.
5 or 6 hours?
Or wait, maybe it's that Hawaii did away with daylight savings time. Maybe that's what I'm thinking of.
Mm. I'm surprised they're getting to play at all. They're pretty COVID strict out there.
Mm.
Eastern time is 5 hours ahead of Hawaii. So, if they had like a 7 o'clock kick, it would be midnight here. It'd be kind of cool, honestly.
Mm.
I guess you said they're kicking at 11, so their time it's 6 p.m.
Perfect. That'd be a night game.
Yeah.
By the end of it. Just so pumped for this game tomorrow.
What are you looking for? What do you want to see?
The team quit.
Dave, you can't say that.
He just did.
This is
I'm just joking. I think it's funny.
I don't know that you're joking.
I'm looking forward to getting drunk with my friends after the show and doing voluntary reaction.
One way or the other?
People are going to be mad either way.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, the only thing that would, I think, switch people's minds is if Tennessee were to absolutely just blast Auburn, right? I'm talking like 45-13 or something like that. That's the only way people are going to be just back.
I think that depends on who the quarterback is.
Sure, yeah.
If you have JG out there and we win 45-13, people are still going to be pissed off.
Mm-hmm.
Can I say that?
Yeah,
you can be pissed off. Mm. You just can't literally
take a...
Yeah.
Mm. Yeah.
It's
confusing. It's
unless
weird.
You're referring to drinking, because in Britain...
Oh, yeah.
If they say pissing the night away, that just means drinking the night away.
Mm-hmm.
Mm.
Like in tub thumping.
Yep, exactly. See, that's what it's from. Yeah.
There you go.
Good. I get knocked down, but I get up again.
It's JG's fight zone.
Brad reminded us that, don't forget, big game tomorrow night, Rutgers, Michigan.
Ugh. Negative points.
Do we want to try and rehabilitate Harbaugh as our next head coach?
I'm certainly not rooting for Schiano. I mean, got to draw the line somewhere.
What if Philip Fulmer was like, good news, Vol fans, we're making the move early on Jeremy Pruitt. We're bringing in Mr. Khakis.
What do you know? I don't want him either. He's a dud. I mean, that'd be like us hiring Peyton Manning, and he can't beat anybody. What are they, 1-4?
And then he goes to Nebraska.
According to Jeremy the Vol for Life Facebook page, if we fire Pruitt this year, we will be lucky to get anyone besides a high school coach.
That's fake news.
Oh, yeah, I know. I told him Hugh Freeze would come here, and then he said he hated waking up to stupid crap. And I just said, I'm sad you don't want to see the Vols win. I thought this was a Vol for Life group.
I love how people think that the way you treat one coach matters at all for the next guy. Like, these coaches don't care. You're going to pay them $4 million.
You could say a lot of mean things to me for $4 million.
At Tennessee, we're going to pay him $12 million to leave.
Yeah, exactly. That's true. Like, not to mention that every one of these, if you knew the amount of college coaches in different sports, I don't know. I know more of the basketball guys because that's the sport I was coaching in high school. Like, that want to one day just be a head coach pretty much anywhere that don't make it. And so now you funnel all those guys that have been in that pool to the few that make it and get a big job, empower, you know, football or basketball. To do that, you've overcome a lot of challenges just to be one of the guys that gets a good job. So you're pretty confident in your own abilities, no matter what the last guy did. You know, like, I mean, some of these guys would say if Tennessee has zero players and I have to recruit an entire team of true freshmen, they'd still take the job. It's Tennessee.
Would you...
That you say that. That used to mean something. I don't know that it does anymore.
Well, I mean, it could be Missouri. It could be Kentucky. It could be South Carolina. Like, for a guy like Billy Napier or Jamie Chadwell, like, it does not matter.
Mm-hmm.
It's the SEC. It is the top of the profession. And we've seen it happen with some of these guys. Greg Marshall, great example. Could have had the big dream job at some point. Never really took it. There's other guys that haven't quite fallen from grace because he's psycho. There's some other guys that have been still good dudes that never make the jump, and they just never get it because then they're not the hot commodity anymore. So you get that opportunity, you better go.
Would you take the head coaching job at Tennessee if you knew that you were going to become as hated as Butch Jones in exchange for an $8 million buyout?
Yeah. Yeah.
Even if you're never able to step foot in Knoxville again?
I got $8 million.
That's FU money, man.
Like, I'm getting a yacht. I'm out of here. I mean, you know, come back and visit. I'll just wear one of those banana nose masks, you know, just a disguise. Be easy. Butch Jones still comes back. The Catholic scoreboard's named after him.
Yeah.
Butch and Barb scoreboard or field. Maybe it's the field. I don't know. Yeah, for $8 million.
No, Ohio State just landed the number one quarterback recruit in 2022.
Really? Was he committed to Tennessee at one point?
No.
What's his name?
Ewers. I think it's E-W-E-R-S. It's his last name.
Ewers.
E-W-E-R-S. Ewers?
Ewers, maybe. I don't know.
Oh, baby, we're up to 30.5. Up Quint. To 30.5.
Quint. Quint.
Spread the love. 30.5. Up, up, and away to the moon.
Previously been committed to Texas.
Oh, that guy.
Wonder if Urban.
Yeah, that was the one that everyone was a little bit shaky.
Oh, no.
That's the one that people are worried that Texas is going to call up Caden Salter now.
Oh. Yeah.
Sorry. Sorry about that.
If you or a loved one's been injured in an accident, head on over to g3helpme.com. Get your free consultation with the law offices of G. Turner Howard III. Tons of experience right here in East Tennessee with those types of cases. They'll get you the money you deserve. It's the g3helpme.com and our phone lines are the G3 Help Me hotline. We got DR Vol up first. If you want to weigh in, 865-546-8200 is the number on this Football Friday. What's up, DR Vol? You're on 3 and Out.
Hey, guys, so did I hear that right? If I go ahead and put in on that bet right now, even if it gets up to minus 100, I still get that. Whatever it ends on is what I get?
Yes.
Correct. Whatever it is right at kickoff, that's what you get. Doesn't matter what it is right
okay.
now.
Okay. Well, I'm going to go ahead and put that in. You know, guys, you're talking about if you take Tennessee job. I would, and at my press conference, I'd have JG walk up there with me and hand him a bus ticket. I mean, because that would buy you some great clout, probably an extra year on the job.
How are we here?
I don't know, man.
I mean, like, we've had bad quarterbacks, right? Like, Rick Clausen didn't have an arm, but, like, JG can throw it. Like, I just don't understand how someone could be this inept at the position at a place like Tennessee.
Philip Fulmer and, I think, it had to be Randy Sanders, right? And, like, what was that, 2000? Like, rolled out A.J. Suggs in the Florida game.
Mm-hmm.
And it almost worked. Like, if we hadn't kicked so many field goals early.
Yeah.
He did throw a JG-esque pick six that probably eventually, you know.
Yeah, that was a backbreaker.
I mean, it led to the Gaffney play. I mean, but you could have gotten lucky and maybe the defense gets a stop. I mean, like.
Didn't he also have, like, 400 yards against LSU a couple weeks later, though?
Yeah, I mean, we have just rolled out tons of guys that aren't this bad. But this is that don't get to play very long. And this is the guy.
Yeah, they're bad, and then you never see them again.
Right. And
yeah.
This is the guy that just continues to get trotted out.
Yeah, and you know, I remember sitting in the stadium in 2009 watching Tennessee play UCLA and watching Crompton thinking, God, it can't get any worse than this. Little did I know.
Not so fast.
But a decade later, it kind of hit me. guys, you know, Hugh Freeze, man, he's out there and he's name searching. I told the guys on the drive, he sent me a message on Twitter. Because he, you know, if you follow me, I'm tweeting a little bit about Hugh Freeze, and I guess he's an admirer, you could say.
What's our daily Bible verse today, DR?
Hugh Freeze does love him some Hugh Freeze.
And Twitter.
Well, I will. So today's Bible verse is Luke 17:3-4. If your brother or sister sins against you, rebuke them, and if they repent, forgive them. Even if they sin against you seven times in a day and seven times come back to you, I repent, you must forgive them.
So we got six rounds of cheating left.
That's right. I think that should be in his contract. You got six strikes, buddy. That's 6 5 stars you can get.
Oh.
Can they all be quarterback?
Yeah, amen to that. Last thing before I go, are y'all going to do the Vault for Life segment today?
Do we have enough ammunition there, Dave?
Yes, we are, DR Vol. Okay. We are doing Vol for Life today, buddy.
Well, we also promised Will one on Tuesday.
Well, there's going to be enough.
Oh, yeah, that's true. Whatever happens this weekend, we'll definitely have more ammo.
Well, I want to request one, and Davey, you'll know what I'm talking about. The guy that honestly believes we don't cheat ever. And you know which one I'm talking about, because you went back and forth with him.
Yeah, part of that's in there. Part of it I have to take out, just because kids are listening. But
we have rules here.
Other than that, yeah, man, it'll be in there.
Oh, I know what comment it is. Probably the one I said about.
Yeah, just leave it at that.
Yeah. All right, guys. Well, I'm pulling for voluntary reaction. I'm pulling for whatever it takes for Hugh Freeze Saturday. Thanks.
Thanks, TR.
There you go. What do you think? 9 o'clock. All for life, 9 o'clock.
All right. If you say so.
Kick off the hour. What? Just cue the Lou Holtz thing. That's like I don't like. How are we supposed to talk about this game?
I don't know.
I mean, like, fans literally want us to lose by as much as possible. I feel like even when South Carolina fans came in with Keep Butch Jones shirts on, and I feel like the fan base is pulling more against the team this week than they were that week.
Oh, they weren't pulling against Tennessee in that South Carolina game,
right?
I don't think
not
so.
Not like this.
Mm-mm, no.
I mean, there were a few that I talked to who were like, we just need this to be bad so it would be over with. Because everybody knew you should fire Butch Jones after the Georgia game, except John Kirk.
Sure, yeah.
Apparently, that was the first time it even dawned on him that he might have to fire Butch Jones.
Yep.
It didn't really hit me. I remember being at that game, and it wasn't until that final drive where I finally was like, you know what? I don't care.
Wait, well, the one here. Where we marched it down the field and just missed the touchdown in the back of the end zone? Is that the one where JG hit the ground and cried?
Mm-hmm. Imagine if we scored there.
Could have all been different, man. Maybe that was the play that broke him.
You know, he got to play too much too early. That's why JG's not good, Houston.
Could be.
Got to play too much too early. Got to protect them kids. God, can we just get rid of this clown?
Who?
Jeremy Pruitt.
Man, you have... You weren't this bad after the Arkansas game. This bye week, because, I mean, you're a broken man.
Apparently some insiders are saying that the 8th assistant coach has not taken the pay cut. It's really strained relationships across the entire athletic department.
You don't say.
Especially with, like, hourly workers and support.
Yeah, right? I could see that.
Mm-hmm.
Good times.
I mean, what do you want? Like,
up 31 and a half. Yeah. Come on, baby. To the moon.
Yeah, that was a good question by D.R. Vall. Yeah, you get the line wherever it ends up at. I'm worried that FanDuel's going to be like, oh, man, this is.
We've got to close this.
Like, yeah, we've got to throttle this somehow. Only like,
what they need to do.
Technical difficulties.
If you're FanDuel, you need to go ahead and get out of it and be like, who or what are the odds for the next coach of Tennessee?
Mm.
Get those odds out early.
Mm. Can you bet on that on FanDuel?
I don't know.
I saw some list somewhere. It was just a graphic. I don't know what site that was.
Potentially.
No, that was a South Carolina graphic. It's just the same coaches, so I thought I was thinking maybe that was Tennessee.
Yeah, that's just probably going to be everybody's hot board.
It was Billy Napier was first. Hugh Freeze was second.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I feel like they should go after Jamie Chadwell. He's right down the road.
Yeah.
He makes more sense there than Hugh Freeze does. To me.
For them?
Yeah, South Carolina.
Well, Billy Napier, they think he makes the most sense because he was at Clemson, so he's recruited the actual state, and then he's been at Alabama too, so he's been in the SEC.
Well, they also
he's
talked,
been a head coach now, Sun Belt, and done really well. He didn't get fired at Clemson.
Yeah.
But.
The problem with Hugh Freeze might be he views South Carolina as a stepping stone, and for them, it might be better off just to get somebody who will be there for the long haul.
Who would just stay. I mean, I don't think South Carolina has ever had a coach, though, take a better job after they went there.
Did Holtz get fired or did he retire?
His tenure ended when they had that humongous brawl, I believe. That was his last
season. Against Clemson?
Yeah, or maybe that was the next last season. But that was definitely the
end. That was the moment?
I would like to send out a speedy recovery to Lou Holtz.
Do what?
I said I'd like to send a speedy recovery to Lou Holtz.
Is he sick?
He got COVID.
Yeah. He's 83. Well, Bowden survived, so hopefully Holtz
will
pull through.
Holtz probably in good shape.
It's 2004. I don't know. They went 6-5. They were 4-4 in the SEC.
Hmm.
I mean, that's sad. I'm literally comparing Jeremy Pruitt with South Carolina coaches the year they got fired or quit, retired, I guess. I can't remember. Hour two next.
Mm.